K-K-K-K-Zero. All right, welcome back to WDIY 88.1 FM. This is Mike Frasetto, your host of Inside the 610. And today we have an awesome person, always great energy throughout the Lehigh Valley and everything he does, Kaleem Bailey. How are you, Kaleem?
Hey, man. How's it going, man? Thanks for having me, man. I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad. It's been a while. We've been trying to get you on the show for a while. You're just a super active person.
Yeah.
I'm really happy that you're in the studio with us today to be able to talk about everything you've been doing and you're about to do for 2024. You have a super busy schedule.
Yes, absolutely. Super busy lineup, just full of festivals and events and parties and, you know, out of town events, everything you can think of. Like, we try to keep a full docket, let's just say.
Yeah, definitely. And you know what? I love having you in the studio today, because most of the times the people that I have come on the show are from Allentown, Bethlehem, but you're one of the few people from Easton area, and you do a lot of your stuff in Easton coming on this.
Yeah, I've owned a barbershop out in Easton for 12 years now. I'm originally from New Jersey. Mm-hmm. I'm a New Jersey man. Shout out to Plainfield, New Jersey in the house. You know, I came out here as an adult. You know, I'm raising my kids in Easton. My son, you know, plays for Wilson High School. My daughters go to Easton Arts Academy, and I've owned a barbershop out there. So I'm turning into an Eastonite, you know what I mean? And I'm proud of it, you know what I mean? It's a good place to settle down, raise your kids. I'm from the hood. I'm from the streets. So, but some people come out here and, you know, they still want to be busy. They still want to be in the life, you know. And, you know, Allentown is the place for you. But for people like myself who came out here to retire from all that and relax and be cool and chill, I feel like Easton is definitely a pretty dope place to just raise a family and...
Yeah, you think more laid back and more family.
Definitely more laid back. If you come to Lehigh Valley and you still want to be in the mix, you better come to Allentown and Bethlehem. If you know, not to say Easton don't get active. Easton does get active a little bit, but you know, it's definitely a more laid back experience.
So, how was the transition from Plainfield, New Jersey, 12 years ago to Pennsylvania? Was it a big difference? And are you happy that you made the transition?
Yeah, at first it was a little tough. It is slower, you know, but, you know, like I say to everybody, you got to tap in to anywhere. If you moved to Plainfield today, if you moved to Newark today and you just stayed on your block and you stayed in your house, you would think that was boring. But you got to tap in. You got to know where things are, know who the people are, know where the clubs are, know where the events are. And, you know, once you tap in, everything will change and you'll really be able to experience the Lehigh Valley for what it is. You got to tap in.
It seemed like you did that pretty fast, because it is a hard transition to leaving your place that you're, you know, you're raised in and you know everything around there, and then all of a sudden you kind of uplift and go somewhere else and got to find those things all out brand new. But you seem like you transitioned really good, because now you're heading a lot of different festivals and things that attract a lot of people to Easton. Like I said in the beginning, you're very active in the community. So I know June 30th, you have something coming up in Easton, the Music, Talent, Fashion, and Art Festival, and that's going to be in Easton. You want to talk a little bit about that one?
Yeah, so the Music, Talent, Fashion, and Art Festival is a festival I cooked up in my head, and I just wanted to honor and showcase the best that the Lehigh Valley and the surrounding areas, you know, have to offer in music, talent, fashion, and art. It starts at 12 o'clock. We have live music, live bands, live performances, fashion shows, fashion vendors, art vendors, art exhibits, all different genres of music. We actually have a live DJ battle. DJ Shy and DJ Menace and DJ Jamal Knight will be judging it. And, you know, we have some of the top DJs out here, like Stay G and Light 'Em Up and different ones. And we have DJs coming from New York and New Jersey. And they're going to battle it out old school style, like it's 1986. All right. We also have a dance competition that's led by Asha Burton. She has been working with us for the last few years. She started the Dancing on the Delaware series. These festivals we have are at Scott Park and Riverside Park, which is directly on the Delaware River. So the backdrop to these festivals is the mighty Delaware. So we coined this dance competition called Dancing on the Delaware, and she just does an amazing job bringing talent from all throughout the area, all throughout the counties, Northampton and Lehigh County, even Warren County, she brings people from all around. They do that thing. They really do. It's a great show, a great festival, fun-filled. You got bouncy houses and face painting and all types of stuff for the kids. So it's just a festival that is really for all different people, all different cultures, all different genres, all different ages.
And in the mix of all these, and we'll get to the other festivals that you got going on this year, especially in Easton, but you also have a podcast show, the DJ Focus podcast, you've been doing for quite some time now, and it's been gaining a lot of popularity in this area. You always get lots of comments while you guys are live. And that's what, every Thursday night?
Yes.
I believe, yeah?
Every Thursday.
Every Thursday night. You and your co-host, Quanah Tatted. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so how has that experience been with growing a podcast in this area? And there's a lot of other people that, if you can, give some advice to the other people that are trying to start podcasts or have them. What would you say to them would be your success, recipe for success?
The podcast, we started not too long ago. I've always been a public speaker. I've always been somebody who, you know, my father was a minister and I just, you know, grew up in a barbershop and I've always had that knack for public speaking. So in the midst of all of the rest of the things that I wanted to do with my life and my career, I always wanted to try to find a way to speak to the people and kind of use my oratorial skills. So that's what I did. That's why I came up with the podcast. And it's really, really been gaining some success and traction. And if I had any advice for any of the up-and-coming podcasters coming out here, I would really say, A, stay consistent, mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, there will be some weeks you don't feel like doing it, some days you don't feel like shooting. Just get up and do it, okay? Don't think you know it all. Learn, constantly learn, every day learn something new. These programs you use to shoot your podcast, there's so many little clicks and gadgets and buttons in there that if you just keep it rudimentary and just press play and record, you'll never really get the full experience of what you can get out of it. So constantly learn. And I would also say, don't be afraid to spend some money. We give out a Cash App every week to our 100th comment, 200th comment, 300th comment on whatever platform you are. We're on. We're on Twitch, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. Yeah. So whatever platform we get those comments on, we go ahead and give out a little Cash App to them, you know, constantly upgrading our equipment and doing, you know, different things that we need to do to make it look successful and professional and just kind of give you guys our best foot forward. So those would be the three things that I would definitely give advice to the young people.
Awesome. And you're actually going to be doing the DJ Focus podcast live at the Steel Stacks in Bethlehem on July 6th at the One Earth Reggae Fest. This is going to be your first year on the stage live doing a podcast at the festival. That's a very growing in popularity type of festival in this area, expecting about 15,000 to 20,000 people this year. Reggae is a genre of music that I think is kind of universal in the world and kind of attracts a lot of different people. And you're going to be on stage for an hour doing live interviews. How do you think that experience is going to be?
Oh, I think it's going to be great. And I thank you guys for the opportunity. I've been watching Reggae Fest grow and I've always, you know, wanted to be a part of it. And I'm glad that I have the opportunity to be a part of it this year. It really means a lot to me and Quanah. So we're setting up a nice experience, let's just say. We'll be on stage live giving out interviews and, you know, keeping the people engaged, but we'll also be in the crowd, keeping the people engaged throughout the day. We have a lot of fun games for them, a lot of Finish the Reggae lyrics games and stuff, where we'll be giving out some prizes and, you know, just kind of keeping the people involved and trying to just make it a fun day and a fun experience for all people involved.
Gotcha. So you're going to have a super busy summer. You got a talent show on June 30th, and you have Reggae Fest July 6th, and then July 27th, you have another one in Easton called the Fusion Festival. Now,
yes.
That one's been going for a few years already, and that's a pretty popular one. There's somewhere like 100 vendors on that one. You want to tell the public about the Fusion Festival on July 27th in Easton?
Yeah, well, the Fusion Fest is a festival that was created by a good friend of mine, Alfonso Todd.
Oh, great guy. Yeah,
great guy. He brought me in the first year to pretty much just, I had a two-hour set, DJ Focus and Friends. And, you know, we did so good, we kicked it off that by the next year, he gave me the entire stage and let me just take care of all of the entertainment purposes. And that's what I do now for the Fusion Festival. Me and Jamie O, good friend of mine, we just basically just take care of all the talent. So we got a lot of things coming up. talent wise for the Fusion Festival. Once again, more live bands. We have another huge fashion show, dance competitions, different things that we you know, just keep it real entertaining, let's just say, you know. So yeah, Fusion Fest, this is our third year. Last year we had a few thousand people. It was an amazing experience, amazing event. And like I said, it's Fonzo's baby, but he just kind of, you know, brung us on. And now it's my baby, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, Fusion Fest will be next.
And then the last thing you got going on this year is another nice one. Everybody loves Oktoberfest. That's happening again, Riverside Park in Easton, October 20th. Mm-hmm. What can people expect at Oktoberfest?
Oktoberfest, you can expect all your favorite Oktoberfest themes, beer, beer and more beer. Okay, we have a lot of fall themed activities, a lot of fall vendors who come through and make it a true Oktoberfest experience. Brats and beer, you know what I'm saying? So everybody come on out. We're getting our German on that day. Okay, Oktoberfest. So, you know, I looked and I see Oktoberfest throughout the world, and I realized Easton didn't have one. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, said, you know what, we're going to cook one up for that, you know, for Easton, for the city. That one, I am the chairman, the CEO, and the creator of, and I just felt as though it was important to kind of, you know, use that particular event to connect with the world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. It's Oktoberfest is It should be something that's grown. I think if people know that it's happening in Easton, people will be there, especially the Easton community, because, yeah, everybody wants to be at an October festival.
Everybody wants to be at October. Yeah. And, you know, I often say it's not just Easton. You know, for me, it's ABE. Mm-hmm. We can't forget about the E in the ABE. You know what I mean? It's a core component of the ABE. So,
ain't that the truth?
Yeah. So, you know what I mean? I've always been one to try to bring events out there and to just kind of shine a light on there. We've had all of the nightclubs out there, you know, all of the parks out there, all of the, you know, different venues to try to bring, you know, shine the light on Easton.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you're right. You're doing a good job of getting people to come out there and kind of bring a different type of life to Easton that really I don't think, you know, I mean, Easton is a great city, you know, and has great food, the downtown, the square.
The fine dining is top-notch.
Yeah. Top-notch, I've
lived in Allentown. I've lived in Bethlehem. And yeah, you know, Easton has some great, great, great restaurants. That's one thing that I will give Easton when it comes to AVE is that, you know,
Tops in the food.
Yeah.
You know what? And through all of this busy schedule you have, you always stay grounded. Reading is something that I know you like to do, and you just got done reading a book by Cal Newport called Digital Minimalism.
Yeah.
Okay, and I heard about it before, but it's about people spending too much time in the digital world and the importance of coming back to the real world and into reality. That was the last book you read. How did that change your perspective on life?
It really changed my perspective a lot. I'm not too old, but I'm not too young. So I grew up in a time where we didn't have any cell phones, and then kind of transitioned to a point where everybody has a cell phone. We got social media. We got all of these different platforms now that there's a duality. But I know the difference of being outside, interacting with people, not being stuck in the digital world, and then being inside and interacting with people only through the digital world. So that dynamic is something that affected me. And I looked around and I was always in my phone on these platforms. And, you know, my wife actually bought me the book, said, you need this book more than anything. You need to just kind of come out of that world. And it really did a number on me. I do now, I take digital days off.
That's awesome.
I have my day off of work, then I have my digital day off where I don't answer my phone, I don't post, I don't do anything. And, you know, it's important because what we don't realize is that they are running a psyop on us. Okay, you have well-paid psychologists sitting on the other side of your screen that work for Facebook, that work for Instagram, that work for Snapchat, whose job is designed to keep you in front of that screen as long as possible.
Yeah.
They get paid for that. So one point that they made was that, like, okay, so it's basically like a slot machine, right? You put out a post, that's you putting a quarter into the slot machine. Now you're checking to see what the slot machine gave you. You know, how many notifications do you got? How many messages do you got? How many likes do you have? How many shares do you have? It's like a slot machine mentality. And it gives people like a gambling addiction. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, what can I get based upon what I put in? You know what I'm saying? And you look around and that will be your life and you'll be focusing only on that. But one thing that people do not realize is that there's not much reality in that life. People show you their new car, but they don't show you the eviction notice. There's a fictional aspect, let's just say, that, you know, people only show you their best foot forward, and you'll get jealous or you'll get FOMO, fear of missing out, when your real life is actually good. You're on your way to vacation, you got a beautiful wife, you got beautiful children, your life is good, your bills is paid, and you're upset that your picture didn't get 50 likes. So these things are very important for us to examine, and they're very important for us to acknowledge, because the very real fact of the matter is we all need a little bit of digital minimalism in our life.
Yeah, what a great message here, especially in this age of the digital world. So yeah, thanks for that message. There's a lot of people that might want to get involved in some of the things that you do. If people wanted to reach out that are listening to this show, how could they reach you?
My email is djfocus85@gmail.com. That's for all booking inquiries and everything like that. Just email us, djfocus85@gmail.com. All social media platforms at The Real DJ Focus. That's THEREAL DJ Focus. And that tag is consistent through all my social media platforms. That's Twitch, that's Twitter, that's Instagram, that's Bego, that's Facebook, that's YouTube.
Well, Kaleem, I'm really happy that we finally got you into the studio. It was a great conversation. Thanks for coming in.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
You're listening to Inside the 610. We'll be right back.
Everything is All REIT on Saturday morning and into the afternoon on All REIT Street. 2 hours of new releases from folk and blues to newgrass and swing. Join me, Jeff Chambers, for a great musical mix plus artist interviews and historical notes on All REIT Street, Saturday at 11, right here on WDIY. All right, All REIT.
Welcome back to WDIY 88.1 FM. This is your host, Mike Frisetto, with Inside the 610. And today we have an awesome, awesome guest here in the studio, Nicole Gerhardt. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You have a very interesting story. You and me are similar in the ways that we're both Lehigh Valley natives, born and raised in this area. Your story of transitioning from the workplace to a full-time entrepreneur, a very successful one in this area, is just captured not only my attention, but a lot of people in the Lehigh Valley. Just want to start off with you being born in the Lehigh Valley. What made you stay here in the Lehigh Valley? A lot of people say, hey, man, Allentown, I want to get out of here.
Yeah.
But you stayed here. Why?
I think that people stay because of the environment. It's very friendly. Like, the Lehigh Valley is a very friendly area. But yeah, I grew up in Allentown and then transitioned from Allentown to Bethlehem, Nazareth, Easton. Now I live in Whitehall.
All over the Lehigh Valley.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. So
I have to agree. When I hear people talk about, bad things about the Lehigh Valley, I get it. Yes, the world's a big place and you could go other places, but there's something that always brought me back to the Lehigh Valley.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was because I had family that grounded me here.
Yeah.
And, I just wanted to stay close to them, but
right.
It seemed like it was just all close to different attractions. You had New York City, Philadelphia all close. You had the woods and the mountains close. Just a good place to raise a family.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I always said that, we were going to move away to the beach or go somewhere, and then I stayed because of my family. And now they're all gone, so I don't know.
Now they're all gone.
Now they're in Georgia and Florida and all over.
And you're a mother of six.
Yes.
So most of your kids are gone too, or are they still?
No. So the oldest one is gone. He lives in Japan. He's a Marine. Then I have five younger ones, and they all still live with me.
Wow. I have one child that just turned three. Yeah, as you could see, my hairs are all gray now. So with six, I just can't believe how you function.
Yeah, I got my first one when my son left to Japan, believe it or not.
So you made this all happen, your successes. I know especially after COVID happened, that's when you really started to really explode with your entrepreneurship. But before that, you were working at the hospital, Lehigh Valley Health Networks, for 16 years.
Yeah.
16 years, a lot of people get comfortable there and stay there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I had a pension, actually, that was grandfathered in. But it just didn't make sense anymore to stay when your side job was doing a lot better than your main primary.
So what was the thing that hit you? What happened in your life that said, you know what, I am going to take this jump and I'm going to get out of this job that I had for 16 years? and I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
Real estate.
Well, to be completely frank, I was a boss in my side hustle, and I was tired of having a boss. Mm-hmm. To be completely honest, you know, when you're working and you're doing the right things and making the right moves in your position as an employee, right? But then your boss is still telling you that you need to do more and more and more. And
oh,
you're
I
like,
can
I am
that.
A boss already. I don't want to be told what to do.
I completely agree. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. I never lasted more than 5 years at a job because of that.
Ooh.
So you lasting 16 years, you really had to bite the bullet on
right.
a lot of things.
I did.
And you said, this is enough.
Yeah.
So then the real estate industry. So why was that the industry that you transitioned to?
Yeah. So when I was a teenager, I actually always watched those flipping shows, right? Mm. So what was it, like Flip My House or something like that?
Yes.
So I'd watch those. I'd fix up my mom's basement and do all these nice decorative things. So it was always like a passion of mine to like flip a house. Never really got that opportunity until recently, like in the past couple of years. But when I was 19, I'm like, you know, I'm gonna take the bull by the horns and I'm going to buy my first rental property. So I did that. And that was what, like 20 years ago?
Oh, so you bought a property when you were 19?
Yeah, I did.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
But it didn't work out because that was during the time that, you know, everything was like crashing. Okay. So it didn't work out and I really didn't have the guidance. And I think that's the main thing that you need is like somebody just to coach you in which avenue you should go, what you should buy, how you should do it. I didn't have that. So I failed.
Do you have any shout outs of people who helped you along the way in this second run around in the real estate industry?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, my partner, Alvin, he like helped 100%.
Awesome.
And then George, he's also a good resource for me. So George Kafalis, yeah, so he was good too.
Oh, that's amazing. That's mm-hmm. amazing. Yeah, it's the people, the circles you put yourselves around that
absolutely.
Can really mentor you and take you to another level.
Right.
A lot of people I know, I dabble in the real estate industry too. There's a lot of people out there that want to get involved in the real estate industry. They just don't know how. They're like, well, I got to buy a house for $200,000. I just can't,
right.
you know, I don't have that money up front. I can't get a loan for that. You know, how did you get your start? And if you had any advice for people that want to get involved in the real estate industry for their first purchase or something like that, how what's your story? How did you get started?
My story and how I got started was during COVID, right? So I started with the construction during COVID. And then once I positioned myself into fixing up houses and making them look better, then things just fall on your plate. You're in that position where you're doing things to better the community and people start talking and they start reaching out to you and they're like, hey, I know Nicole does this. I mean, she makes properties look great. There's this really good flip down the street from my house and let me just let her know. And then before you know it, you're in a position where you're just buying these properties that you would have never found if you didn't start dabbling.
So to like buy the first property, people are going to say, well, how do you get the cash? I don't have a $250,000 laying around or $100,000 of flipping money.
Right.
So yeah, what's the process?
So say you're a single guy, girl. Maybe you're a very new couple or you have one kid or something and you're able to buy a multifamily property, right? You can take out a 203K loan so you don't have to cover the rehab cost, right? The 203K loan provides you with a ability to tie those rehab costs into your mortgage, right? So now you have one payment, right? One mortgage payment and you buy a multifamily property, four units, two units, anything. You live in one. You now are a real estate investor because you're renting out the other three and you're making a substantial, you're covering your rent, your mortgage, and you're making a substantial amount of money in rent. And there's also hidden money, right? So there's hidden money in your 401ks. There is hidden money in maybe you already currently have a mortgage and you have equity in your house. So now you can take out that money and start investing in real estate, buy another house and use your HELOC money for the rehab cost or credit cards. A lot of people think that credit card debt is bad debt, right? There's good debt. So you can take that credit cards, you can build your credit to have the ability to raise your credit card so that you can take that cash out or maybe use your credit card to rehab a house or partner with others. That's another thing. I mean, if you don't have it, somebody else might.
And they're looking for partners.
Yeah.
Now, all that seems like super big risk. I think somebody to the average person would say, wow, if I'm going to get all this equity or, you know, cash out my credit cards or my 401k, that's a huge risk, a financial risk. Yeah. What would you say to the people that, you know, are thinking about it and going, I don't know if I want to take that risk?
I would say connect with somebody who does take that risk then. Because you know why? They're going to steer you in the right direction. They're not going to steer you in the wrong direction. If I mean, there's a chance that they might, but most likely if they're doing it already or they are a mentor in that specific area, they're going to know where you're supposed to add value. They're going to know what kind of design you need to put into your property to sell it quickly, if you're flipping, or to rent it out quickly, if you're renting it out. They know what people are looking for. They know what consumers are looking for. So then you are able to trust in them. And it pretty much just gives you like a good, sturdy backbone and makes you feel confident in your decision.
Gotcha. It seems like you're really strong on that mentorship, finding somebody that could be a mentor to you to get involved. I definitely agree with that. You know what? I had a really good experience just about 3 weeks ago. I went out to a new restaurant in Allentown on Union Boulevard. It was called Love's Restaurant.
Yes.
And it looked beautiful in there. The owner, Brianna Morales, quick shout out to her. Beautiful restaurant. And it was gorgeous on the inside. I mean, it was beautiful design on the inside. The lighting was great. Yeah. The wood, the glass where the bar was, the countertops, it was the flooring.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, exactly. And I didn't know that you were the one that did the interior design for it.
Yeah,
I was there looking at it and then got talking to the bartenders and then they said that you did it. So is that something else you're getting into now as well, interior design?
Yeah, so design has always been like a key factor for me. I think that is a specialty of mine. I specialty. Oh my goodness. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, a specialty of yours.
Yes. Yeah. So it's mine. That's mine. Yeah. So designing, right? So when I'm designing anything, like a construction project or interior design, is definitely something that I'm putting on the horizon in the near future, because there are so many people out there that are like, oh, I have this big house and I don't really know what to do with it. So
Okay, so what else is in the future for you? It seems like you're getting into different industries. So what's the next business you're going to be opening up?
I don't know if there's going to be another business. I'm sure there will be, right? Because you're always evolving, right? But I think that the next venture that I would like to take is probably raising capital for real estate and bigger projects.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So we'll stay tuned for that.
On a larger spectrum.
And
so
we'll keep tapped in to your social media.
Absolutely.
You're very active on your social media.
Yes.
Would you say that some of your success and networking and the people that you were able to connect with was due to because of your activity on social media?
Yeah, absolutely. So when you post, people share, people comment, people like, and people love it. So definitely a key factor in my growth and my company's growth and, you know, my mentorship.
So if people wanted to connect with you on social media, where could they find you at?
Nicole_Rose.goals.
And that's Facebook, Instagram?
That's Instagram, Nicole Gerhardt on Facebook.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Awesome. And if there's one piece of advice that you want to, you already gave a lot of advice, but if there's another piece of advice or another topic that you wanted to speak to the listeners about, what would it be?
Well, while I was driving over here, the word that came to my mind was resilience. You just have to be able to show up and focus on your intentions, right? And your goals, and never mind the distractions and the negative thoughts and things that might be happening. But resilience is definitely key, and just to focus on those goals.
Oh, wow. I could listen to that all day long. The motivation, just when you walk into a room, it seems like everybody just eyes on you, just motivational aura around you.
Yeah.
Well, it's been amazing having you in the studio. Thank you so much for taking this time out of your day to join us.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Inside the 610. Today we had Kaleem Bailey and Nicole Gerhardt in the studio. Fantastic interviews. WDIY 88.1 FM.
If you enjoyed this program, please go to wdiy.org or the WDIY app to share or become a WDIY member.